It is so important that we look at the words of that song and make sure that if we are proclaiming to be a Christian, that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. As always, it is good to be able to gather together with the saints to study God's word, to sing praises unto Him, to partake of the communion, to remember the death, burial, and resurrection, the suffering that Jesus Christ went through in order so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life, to give back a portion of which God has allowed us to prosper, and to pray unto Him and to hear His word being proclaimed. It is always good to gather together with the saints. This morning we want to look at the topic of what is a Christian. What is a Christian? And what does it mean to be a Christian? We've had several that desires to study God's word and learn what being a Christian is all about. We've had 9 to put Christ on through baptism and still trying to figure out what it really means to be a Christian. You're not going to know everything what it means to be a Christian, but there are some things you need to know. When we study God's word with men, women, boys and girls, we may not be able to tell them everything that they desire to know. But one thing is for sure, we need to tell them who Jesus Christ is. As the eunuch did, as Philip taught him, he preached unto him Jesus. And the eunuch, he said he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, when we look at what it means and what it says, we need to demonstrate it in our lives once we put Christ on through baptism. We need to not do this just on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesdays. We need to do it 7 days a week. Amen. Our life needs to demonstrate Christ 24 hours a day. And while you're awake, while you're sleeping, you need to meditate on God's word. I know, you know, we go to bed sometimes with some thoughts on our minds, some things that we plan on doing on the next day. We need to start going to bed with Christ on our minds and what we are going to do for Him and what we have already done for Him. What is a Christian? A Christian is one that follows Christ. One that follows Christ. Many people say that they are Christians, but yet they don't follow Christ. They don't live the way God would have them to live. They do not say the things that God would have them to say. Sister Dominga put Christ on last week. She's a follower of Christ. She's now a disciple. Not just one that believes, but a disciple. One that can be trained in the way of Christ. One that understands what it means in order to be who Christ would have her to be. And all the others, I can stand here and name them. I may mess up somebody's name, so I'm going to leave it alone for right now. But you know who you are. You know what you've done. You know what you need to do. Only disciples were called Christians. No one else. But those that follow Christ were called Christians. In the book of Acts chapter 11 verse 26. Acts 11 verse 26. only the disciples. Acts 11:26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It wasn't a very good thing at that time. You Christ followers, you Christians, derogatory. That's what it was all about. But now it's a good thing to be called a Christian. You know, the denominational world, they throw this word around like it's nothing. They come off, they just fall off their lips. I'm a Christian. While they're out there hanging out in the corner, while they're sleeping with some other man's wife or some other woman's husband. I'm a Christian. You are? You mean to tell me you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're participating in sinful deeds? It's not a very good Christian example you're setting, is it? You know, we're lost many a people because we're supposed to be Christians, but we're acting like the world. And if the world sees us acting like them, why should they ever become Christians themselves? There's no reason. There's no reason. A disciple, a learner, a follower, adherent to God's word. Every Christian's goal should be to become a disciple of Christ. Luke chapter 6 verse 40. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you want to become one. That opportunity is yours. No one is going to twist your arm. No one is going to push you. And you are not nailed to that seat. So that opportunity is yours to become a Christian on this day. In Luke chapter 6 verse 40. Luke chapter 6 verse 40. It's to be like Jesus. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We're not trying to, you know, pass Jesus. We're not trying to, you know, to say that we're somebody that we're not. It's not about, you know, a name that's world renowned. It's about doing what God wants us to do. Jesus didn't come to this earth to make a name for himself. He came to this earth to do the will of the Father. Why are we here today? Why are you here today? I hope it is to learn something about God's word, or I hope it is to praise him or give honor to him or to worship him in a manner that is pleasing unto him. This is old. This is nothing new to a whole lot of you. What a Christian is and what a Christian should be doing. But it is something that some need to hear, and it is something that some old Christians need to start putting into practice. Just because it's not new doesn't mean that you're doing everything that you need to do that is pleasing unto God. To be conformed to his image. The image of whom? The image of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. I love the life of being a Christian. I love it when people look at me and they see Christ in me. They see the example that I'm setting. And I even like it when people look and say, "You think that you're better than me." It's not that I think I'm better. It's that I have had my sins washed away. I have, you know, the opportunity to walk a newness of life, and I'm taking that opportunity. So we all need to feel that way. In Romans chapter 8 verse 29 it said, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus was perfect. Jesus had no sin. Jesus committed no sin. Perfect. This is what God made. But you know, in order for Jesus to be perfect, Jesus had to put certain things into practice. He had to be obedient to his parents. He had to be obedient to, he had to be obedient to the Father. He had to be obedient to the cross. He had to put some things in practice. Do you want to be perfect? Do you want to be transformed or conformed to the image of the dear Son? You can be. But it's some things that you need to do. Behavior. It needs to be changed. Attitudes need to be adjusted. So we need to do what is right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But Theodos, go ahead and read that for us.
But we all with open faith, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Be conformed, don't we? We need to be who we're supposed to be. Act the way we're supposed to act. And when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Are you pleased with what you see? If not, what are you going to do about it? I know, you know, saw him look in the mirror. I saw a man looking in the mirror yesterday on this TV program, and his son came out and saw him. He had picked up the razor because he was getting ready to shave, and his son said, "You going to shave today?" He said, "No, not today. Maybe when we get ready to go into town, I'll shave." He saw what he needed to do. He would love it, Brian, like you were telling me on some Sunday morning. "Oh, you didn't shave today, brother. You're trying to grow a beard?" But he didn't do anything about it. See, we want to be conformed to Christ. We need to do something about it. It's up to you. It's up to me to make the change in our lives that we need to make that are necessary to be like Christ. Well, what are the marks? What is going to point us out? What is going to set us apart from everybody else? We are a peculiar people. We're different. We're supposed to be different from the world. You think you're better. No, we're not better. Just different. We are a member of a royal priesthood. We're heirs to the throne. You know, how many that are heirs to the throne do you see walking around looking like they have no hope? Or they have nothing to look forward to? If you are a Christian and you're walking around like that, somebody need to give you an attitude adjustment. And I'm not telling them they need to put their hands on them. They need to set you down and talk to you. If you ever see me walking around with my head down like I have no friend, you come to me and let me know that you are my friend. That Jesus is my friend, and I need to walk with my head held high. No matter how many reject the gospel, we still need to walk around with our heads held high. Because there's somebody that's waiting on that seed to be planted. See, a Christian is one that is busy about the Father's business. He abides in Jesus' words in John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Oh, you can say many things. You can say who you are and what you are, but that doesn't make you that thing. In John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed." Continue. This is the big fight that we have with many men today that say that you cannot fall away from grace. Jesus himself said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Well, what's the other? What? If you do not, then you are not his disciples. Amen. See, we want to be a Christian. We want to be a disciple. We want to be a follower. We want to be a pupil of God's word. So Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Are we going to always have all the answers? No, we're not. But we know where to go get the answers. Amen. Are we going to always do everything that God wants us to do? No, but if we don't, we can always change. We can repent of our sins and be obedient unto God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27, the scripture reading was read this morning by Brother
Gary.
I got it. By Brother Gary. Got it the first time you said know, Brother Gary, he approached me on Wednesday night and said he wanted to do something different. He wanted to be on the Lord's table. But then Brother Gary came to me this morning and said, "Brother Bryce ain't here. What's the scripture?" He's ready to work. He's ready to be a disciple. One that abides in the words of Jesus. One that does what he is supposed to do. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 it said, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Some action needs to take place. Now that you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you just come and sit on the pier and do nothing. Some action needs to take place. Well, I had my sins washed away. Now what are you going to do? Do you think it's over? Did the man tell you you got a job? Did you just go home and wait on that paycheck? Where you work at? Well, I work at McDonald's. When did you start? Oh, I haven't started yet. I hadn't had my first day, but I got a job. Now, when are you going to get a paycheck? You're going to get a paycheck when you go to work. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name have cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works." Is that enough? Is that enough? What Jesus says, "And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is that? That's going back to John chapter 8 verse 31. Yes, you are my children, but guess what? You did not continue in my word. So depart from me, you workers of iniquity. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, a solid foundation." Now we know some structures, they shake. We know some structures, they give away. But if you are built your house upon this foundation, the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you keep His words, you don't have anything to worry about. "And everyone," in verse 26, "that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth not them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The latter would be worse than the first. A dog turning back to his own vomit. A sow, after she's washed, turns back into the mire. What are you going to do? You say you're a Christian. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you abiding in the words of Jesus? A Christian is one, a disciple is one that loves the brethren. Love the brethren. But what does it mean to love? That means sometimes you put them in front of you. Not just sometimes. You need to put them in front of you all the time. "Oh, brother, I don't have time for you today." Well, you don't love me then, do you? I didn't say that. I just don't have time for you today. Sometimes we need to make time. We need to make time one for one another. In John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34 and 35. Brother Brian, read that when you get it.
13:34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Mm-hmm. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another."
There you are. You're out doing things for people. He must be a Christian. Then when they come ask you to do something for them, you say, "I don't have time. I thought he was a Christian. I don't guess he really is." You love one another. Love one another. Love your neighbor as whom? As yourself. Be willing to help them. Show love. Show love. Love is an action word. 15:12. The book of John. Same thing. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We want to be Christ-like, don't we? Christ is saying, "Well, you love one another as I have loved you." You see love in my life, you've seen it, now you need to demonstrate it. He don't want you to say, well, I'm going to look over here at old Mike's life and I'm going to do the thing that Mike is doing. No, Jesus said, you look at me. I'm your example. Paul said, you know, be imitators of me as I'm imitators of Christ. Amen. So we're really not imitating Paul. We're imitating whom? We're imitating Christ.
Amen.
Because this is where Paul learned his love from. We too can love in the same manner. We can love in the same manner. A disciple bears much fruit. You know, I haven't really, never really understood this, but I keep telling people that they're looking at it all wrong. Whenever someone is baptized, they always say, man, that preacher's doing a good job over there. I tell them quick, I say, no. I say, the members at West End are doing a good job. It's everybody's responsibility to teach the gospel. Everybody's responsibility. Not the elders, not the deacons, not the preacher. Everybody's responsibility. So they're included in that number. Bears much fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Bearing much fruit. Good fruit. No, nothing bad, but good fruit. Inviting people to come in. Going and picking up people. Sitting down and teaching people. And seeing results. That's a good thing. Because many times when we teach God's word, we may not ever see the results. We may not ever be around. Because remember, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. But a disciple bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. See, we're doing these things for a reason. Not to get any glory to ourselves. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. It's not to us, it's to God. Everybody works, but God gets the glory. So we need to keep striving to do what is right. We need to keep striving to be the people that God wants us to be. Well, how does one become a disciple? How does one become a disciple? It's very simple. Very simple. You hear God's word. You believe in God's word. You come forth and you confess your faith in Christ Jesus. You repent of your sins. You have your sins washed away in a watery grave. Then, as we find in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, see, there's some work to be done. Now that you are a Christian, there's some work that needs to be done. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, for those that become members of the body of Christ and want to become a disciple, a pupil of God's Word, and continue to study God's Word to learn what they must do, it is great. Because you have two things happening here. You have one that was baptized and understand that they still need to learn. And you have the one sometime that participated in the baptism that still teaches because they know the importance of teaching them the things in which they know. And this is a little bit different from a secular job. On a secular job, when you're told to train somebody, you try to hold back something because you still want to be important. You still want them to come to you every now and then and ask you questions. You don't want to tell them or teach them everything you know. But when a man become a Christian, we don't need to hold back anything that we know. We need to teach them everything that we know. So they may be able to go out and to teach others. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, or when they were pricked in their hearts, there in verse 37, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, what they needed to do in order to become a Christian. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 8, verse 35 and 30 through 38, when the eunuch was baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. What did he say? Some of you are reading a version that's going to leave some things out there. You're going to say, "I don't see that in my Bible." Well, just listen to it. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What did hinder me to be baptized?'" Now some of you may want to look over at your neighbor now. "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' Then he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Do you see how to become a Christian? Those of you that are not, do you see what needs to take place? And then, of course, as we already stated in Matthew 28:20, you still need to learn. You still need to be obedient. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "They continued, how often, whenever they felt like it, whenever the urge hit them." No, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." They continued. What about you? How often do you open up your Bibles? Those that are new converts, how often have you opened your Bible since you became a Christian? How often have you inquired about God's Word to someone else that has been a Christian longer than you and asked them to explain something to you? Well, I know you don't know everything. I've been a Christian for, about 20-something years now. I don't know everything. I still ask questions because there's some answers that I'm looking for. And the answers are in God's Word. And if I ask the question, somebody should be able to show me in God's Word. We don't know everything. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 27. But some of you may know everything. But you know what it really boils down to, right? You really don't know nothing. James chapter 1, verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive them with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." See, now that you are a disciple, you need to be busy about the Father's business. Keep searching His Word. "And be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I went to worship service yesterday. Oh, so the rest of my week is going to be great. What are you going to do the rest of the week? What are you going to do with what you heard? Are you going to put it into practice? "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridled not his tongue, but deceived his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled is this, or before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Work to be done. You hear it all the time, but what are you doing about it? You know, some say you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? We got many people that can talk a good game. They all this, that, and the other. Oh, let me tell you what God's Word say. No, show me what God's Word say. Show me by your actions. So we get many people that don't fully agree with God's Word. Why? Because God's Word is saying something that they do not want to do. Yeah. You got some men that are Christians that don't agree with God's word. Why? Because there's something that they want to do. Oh, that's really not talking to me, is it? Who else is it talking to? Who else is it talking to? You go and you look in the mirror and you ask yourself that question. Who is this talking to? Is it talking to me? Is it talking to someone else? It's talking to you. We need to be faithful. We need to be the people that God wants us to be. We need to act the way God wants us to act. We're going to continue on next Sunday looking at what is a Christian. Because there are many other things that we can say about being a Christian that many people need to hear. Young and old. Young Christians and old Christians. We need to hear what it says about what is a Christian. There's a lot that we can be doing, but yet we don't want to do it. There's a lot of people that we can help, but we don't want to help them. There's a lot of examples that we need to be setting, but we don't want to set them. We need to wake up. And we need to be busy about the Father's business. There's no point in a Christian going through their day without praying to God. There's no point in a Christian, I'm going to make it easy on you, to go through a week without talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. We should be doing it more often than ever. I'm just trying to make it easy on you. A week. So I ask you, who have you called over the last month to talk to them about God? To encourage them, those that are Christians, to come back to services. Or to be more faithful in their service. How many? How many? We can add it up, right? On no hand. Because there are many that are not doing anything. And then there are others that are doing plenty. And I want to encourage you to continue to do plenty. But those of you that are not doing anything, you need to start doing something. Because if you are a hearer and not a doer, you like that person that has that job that don't go to work, you will not get any wages. Your wages is going to be debt because you are in sin. Maybe you're here and you want to become a Christian. Maybe I've said something that's telling you, well, no, I don't want to be that active. I don't want to do anything. So you're not going to become one. Well, that's going to be between you and God in the end. Maybe you want to become one, and what I've said has influenced you now to say, I'm ready to become a Christian. That opportunity is yours to come and to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in a watery grave. If you are a Christian and you have not been doing right, now is the time to get your life right. To come forward, confess your fault, ask for prayers that your sins may be forgiven. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.